Charles works in the Seattle office of Adobe's two audio products, Adobe Audition and Adobe Sound Booth. After receiving his first college degree at the age of 18, he transferred to the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music and earned a Bachelor's of Science in Audio Recording. During that time, he initiated an internship in Vienna with the Austrian Broadcasting Corporation and regularly worked on recordings and broadcasts with the Vienna Philharmonic as well as the Vienna State Opera. He serves on ARSC's Technical Committee as well as the Audio Engineering Society's Working Group for Forensic Audio. Additionally, Charles has co-written one patent and is a member of the National Eagle Scouts Association.
Thank you, George. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Feel free to come down closer if you need. Also, feel free to leave if you need. There are two copies of Audition in the auction, and the auction closes at the end of this presentation. So if you see something you like, you can go bid on it. Don't go all at once. What I'd like to show you today is not a full demo of what Audition does, but just some new features that I hope will be useful to the audio restoration community that is within ARSC, and hope to demonstrate kind of the basic workflows of how this might be used. What I'm not going to do, I'm not recommending best practices for noise reduction and the workflows throughout, but just showing you what some of the capability that is unique to Adobe Audition, which came out just this past October. So first thing is that I'd like to show off is a frequency spectrogram. Now these are in a lot of other products and has been around for some time. And what you see here, if you're not familiar with it, is along the vertical axis is the frequency and time is measured on the horizontal axis. Should be familiar to most of you. Now many other applications allow you to even draw a box and to, you know, do some sort of rendering on that. However, if you've worked in a spectrogram before, you notice that not all your stuff is shaped in rectangles and boxes. So in Audition, in our older version Audition 2, we introduced the lasso tool, much like in Photoshop, to where you can make non-box selections, as well as non-contiguous selections. And then you can do any of your processing on that if you want to run noise reduction just within that selection, EQ, convolution, whatever you'd want to do is possible to do this. So on another clip, I'll demonstrate this. It's just a door with a squeak. It's a canned sound effect, but just to show what you can do with this, if I zoom into this squeak, and I can adjust the spectrogram controls of how much dynamic range I see just to hone in on what we're looking at. I can also change the FFT size to get more resolution in the frequency domain, less resolution in the time domain, et cetera. Well, what I can do is this squeak. Normally, you could do a box and just delete it if I actually zero that in right. But you kind of, it's pretty heavy-handed to do it that way. So one of the things that you can do with the lasso tool is just draw it just how you would in Photoshop or an image editing application. Because we believe that this workflow is actually quite akin to image editing. And I get some of the harmonics up here. And then what I can do, instead of just deleting it, which you'd have drastic filtering and you can have some problems related to that, is that you can just preview your change with just a simple amplify plugin. And I'm bringing down just what's in the selection. I can bring it up. And I can then zoom out and try it again. So most of you people aren't going to be taking squeaks out of doors, out of sound effects, but I hope that you can see how this might be applicable to your workflows. You know your material better than I do, and so be thinking about ways that little artifacts you can get in there and you can carve around it. Now I'm going to undo that, zoom in again, and the other thing that you might notice is that the amplitude of, you know, just take the fundamental of the squeak, changes over time. And you don't want to do the same amount of processing at the beginning here as you would at the end. So we introduced new in Audition 3, what we call the effects paintbrush. And what you can do here is not only can you do non-box selections, but you can also change the opacity of your selection, and the opacity is similar to the mix of your selection. So if you have a selection that is not very opaque, that's translucent, the amount of audio that will be affected at that will be less. Now if you're fully opaque, it's just like doing a regular selection. And you could then go ahead and do a delete, and you can see that it didn't fully delete everything over here, that it only reduced the amplitude, which is basically delete, you could say, is reducing the amplitude by infinity. But if only did that a little bit via the opacity parameter, then it's only bringing it down a little bit. And so it's just another way that you have finer control when doing spectrogram editing or doing restoration in a frequency spectrogram. And so another example using this, this is a clip that I got from one of my customers for testing, is there's some speech and then there's this pulse tone that is over it and masking it. And what you can do in Audition as well is as you're trying to hone in on different ways to do your spectral editing, it's nice to be able to hear what you're actually selecting. Most other programs, if not all, you can do a time selection and you can hear that. If you make a frequency selection, you know, same thing. In Audition, you have the option of hearing just your selection. So I can do this selection, just exclude it, and we'll hear everything that is outside this center area that I have selected. So if you have an artifact that is in your audio, we could go into actually one of the words, and we could select, go ahead and do the lasso, do something like this, and I'll just be really sloppy with it. And I can select that, and I can also, with a shift modifier, I can carve out of the selection, take stuff out. That's actually a little bit quiet to do. I'll show that on another clip. We can go ahead and zoom out and just select this, get rid of that tone. Oops. Just do what's in the selection.
Hi, Michelle, it's Daddy. Can I speak to Betty? I want to leave the phone number of the restaurant.
So that's not necessarily a novel, that's just simple editing. But in the workflow of trying to find what you're looking for, I can demonstrate this really well with just some regular pink noise to show that what you're hearing. So this is just pink noise, and I'm going to make a selection that goes up and down. And as we go through, and we'll take some out right here and a little bit more down here. And I'm going to open up an RTA, dock that down there. Linear view, and I'm going to change it to just the lines. And I'm going to go ahead and play through this, and you can see that it's playing just the selection. Whereas normally other programs, you have a selection and you're still hearing this. Additionally, you have the parameter of with the marquee selection, you can exclude that. So that should be a way that hopefully it can speed up your workflow of when you're finding your artifacts or your clicks or pops, that you can hear just what you're looking for or not hear what you're looking for. Now, another one that I can go ahead and do. And we'll bring that down. We'll go ahead and do a different clip, actually, and do some more clicks. Okay, so there's a click. That might actually be, this one's probably good. Now this clip, you're looking at the waveform This is from a poor digital transfer that has a lot of bit dropouts and stuff like that. A pretty unrecoverable clip, but is good for, I use that for my testing and for some demonstration purposes. So if I go ahead and play through this, there's various automatic declickers that you can go through, and we have one, several other products do. But if you run that and it doesn't quite get all of them, and you have to go through and manually do that, you can use the methods that I've shown before, but also similar to the effects paintbrush where you can make a selection. We have a one-click tool. So get back over to where I was. A one-click tool called the Spot Healing Brush. Again, similar to the workflow in Photoshop that is so quintessential for people doing image restoration, is all I have to do. Excuse me? The question was, what is it called? And I'm referring to the Spot Healing Brush. And all I have to do is click and drag this. And just on a single click, it'll go through. You might not have done that before. And so I don't have to go through and select it, then do a process, remove this click, select something else. I can go through and just with one drag, get rid of a click. So we do this one. Actually, let's go ahead and hear the before. And this one's probably going to be too big for that. But I'm going to go ahead and do these. Just go ahead and paint it. Go ahead and paint it. And I'm going to try and do this guy. And now you can change the size of the brush, measuring pixels, the parameter up here. So I can start with a bigger one. And just go ahead and go through that. And we'll see how that turned out. This one's not going to be turned out too well right here because it's a huge thing, and you're going to have to do other methods for that. And I'm going to undo all those. So hopefully that's also a way that you can speed up your workflow. When you have a catalog of 70,000 discs that you have to go through and you're doing listening copies for 300, the little tweaks to your workflow that can help speed you up should be able to save you time and money. Now, additionally, we have several tools for working on stereo content where you both have to worry about the centering of the pan and also the phase. And we introduced two new views in Audition 2. I'm going to do a different clip, if I can find it. Yeah, here we go. So this one is new in Audition 2. Not too many people have used it or seen it. It's unique to Audition. We call this the spectral pan view. And what this shows, I'll zoom in here, is on the vertical scale, you have your stereo panorama. So anything where you see highlights at the top of your graph, that's information that is purely in the left channel. Stuff that's at the bottom of the graph is purely in the right channel. And the stuff in the middle is pan center. What that means is you have specific frequencies on each channels of about equal amplitude. If it's much more amplitude on the left channel for that specific frequency, it's going to be drawn a little bit up. So this is also color-coded, and you don't have to color-code it. You can just have it, you know, monochrome. And where you see the brightness is the amplitude, but you can color-code it and also see frequency. So colored like this, it follows the actual color spectrum. Red frequency, red colors are low frequencies, longer wavelengths, and then all the way up to blue is going to be your high frequencies, and violet is going to be the top of your spectrum. Now, what this shows you is you have time, you have pan position, you have amplitude, and you have frequency, showing you four different variables or four different dimensions in this. So we can go ahead and go through and listen to this. You have really bright stuff in the middle, that's the vocals. You have the Rhodes piano, which goes back and forth. It's kind of in the middle of the spectrum, middle of the color spectrum. Goes back and forth. You have hi-hat hits, really high frequencies. You have these little blue spotches. And it's okay if this seems kind of far out for there. Actually, the projector doesn't show a lot of this stuff. It takes a while to get used to and to get it into your workflow. But once you're able to read it, you can actually do quite a bit of stuff with it. So we'll get to a clip where there's a little guitar part. So unfortunately, we don't have stereo playback in this hall, but right here, we have, if I don't obscure it, the little guitar lick that comes in. And what we can do is we can also edit in this domain. So we can do editing that is in the stereo panorama that is not unique to the left and not unique to the right and split it between. So I'm going to select this guitar lick right here. And again, I don't expect you guys to be changing the mixes and doing, you know, more mastering, at least in this domain. I know some of you do that on the side or as other parts of your business. But again, it's just showing the capability that you can use when doing your transfers and monitoring. I'll get to some more workflow things with that. So I'm going to do a similar thing I did before, just with the amplitude, and play through this and bring in that guitar and take it out. Now 13 dB is a little heavy-handed. You're going to get artifacts the further you go. I'm going to go ahead and give this a wider preview range and do that again. Now, it doesn't have to be just pure amplitude. If I know that the guitar is at certain frequencies, I can then run my EQ EQ plugin on that selection. So if you have sometimes you see people when reissuing old stuff, they will take a mono recording and try and stereoize it. I found this one off of a local radio broadcast streaming, and go ahead and play it. And you have, it's just a very similar spectrogram on the left and right channel. But what you can see the engineer did, by the fact of the colorization, is that there's high frequencies over to the left, and there's some mid frequencies to the right, and then everything is in the middle to try and spread it out. They use an EQ on different channels. And so it kind of gives this rainbow effect in this view. Now, the byproduct of that, if I show this in just normal Sigis plot, it does wacky things to the phase, which, depending on your purpose, you'll probably want to avoid. There's several ways to view phase in Audition. One of the ones I like to use is called the phase wheel. SpectraFoo has a similar visualization. I think they call it the phase torch. Anyways, you can see in the middle of the graph is lower frequencies, and as you get out to the edges, higher frequencies, also colored the same. Blue is high frequencies, red is lower. And the further away you get from the top here, is further out of phase of this. You can see in the middle frequencies they're bumped up in the right has messed up the phase here. Now, if you might get something that's like this. I want to correct someone else's work. This view, actually I'll go back to this one. This can all be corrected. There's a new plugin that we did called the Graphic Panner, where you can go in and it can go in and learn the pan that was used via frequency. So you can see here, it just analyzed what was going on, and someone did a boost around 500 hertz in the left channel and did a boost around 3.5 kilohertz in the right channel, and that's how they stereoized it. Well, you can go ahead and auto-center that, and you can auto-center the phase and go through, and it should tighten it up quite a bit. You can see down here it fixed the phase quite a bit. Now, similar to the spectral pan display, I'm going to go to, I'll keep with this pan actually. This is another recording that I got off of the internet streaming thing. And you can see that it is a mono recording, but it's not centered. Most of the recording is a little bit heavier on the left. So you can imagine if you're transferring from an LP, if your stylus is not centered correctly, or if you have other gain structure problems, you could immediately see this as a bird's eye view as you're going along if you're offset, and then also show you another way to show it in the pan or in the face. But this right here, for some reason, the panning, the image of the recording is going all over the place. And again, we can't hear it in this medium. But it's a little bit to the left, and it jumps to the right, back to the left again. And I have no clue why that happened. I don't know if that was the engineer at the radio station accidentally turning something when they shouldn't, or if it was some other problem with the transfer. But again, we can go through and clean that up, frequency independent. And you can see it changing over time, figuring out how to compensate for that. We'll go ahead and go through and do that. And brings it to the middle. So then if you want to close it down to just a mono format, you're not going to have too many problems of cancellation that's already been fixed. Now, similar to the spectral pan view, we have also a spectral phase view. And this one gets even more confusing the first time you look at it. But at the top of the graph, in the vertical frequency, we have the number of degrees of phase between a specific frequency between the two channels. So similar, if you're looking in the spectrogram, you select 1,000 hertz, you can kind of see there's 1,000 hertz here in the right channel and the left channel. And the spectral pan view, we could see that, you know, not with a real degree of accuracy because we're not very good at distinguishing color, us as humans. But you can see it's a little bit towards the left. And then you could also see that there's some lower frequencies here that are out of phase. So stuff that's at minus 180 or plus 180 is kind of the same thing, will appear at the edges, and stuff that's in phase is in the middle. So go ahead and play this clip. So we have some wind rumble that was recorded from a camera outside, and the wind is out of phase of the camera, the way it's out of phase between the two channels of the camera mic by the way of it blowing. And normally the way you could try and get rid of that is you could do extensive filtering in the frequency domain, or just try and do a high pass filter or something like that. But really what it is it's out of phase, so you just want to affect the audio that's out of phase and not really touch the stuff in the middle. So what I can do here, again, just preview the stuff that's in phase. Minus the wind rumble. This will be with the wind rumble. And I can just get rid of the stuff that's outside of my selection. And actually, I'll do just a little bit so you can hear kind of it going in and out. So getting rid of a wind problem in a stereo recording that normally is really extensive process to do in the frequency domain or just in the amplitude domain, but if you go into the phase domain and select stuff that's out of phase and you can do filtering with that, allows for much better precision and much better control. And then also there are other another thing with the spectral phase view is if you have a misalignment on your repro machine, like say if your azimuth is off, one channel will be playing before the other slightly, and just a few microseconds ahead. What this can cause is it can take out the phase of different frequencies, but since each wavelength of the frequency is different, the amount of phase difference that there's going to be is going to vary among the frequency range. So you can see here that a lot of the lower frequencies are in phase, but as you get to higher frequencies, it's further and further out of phase. So what you can do, and this can be done in other applications, phase correction is not something that's new to us, but the way to visualize this and to see it allows for easy stuff. So I can just do a manual shift and bring that in the middle, and I can go to lissajous plot. Do that again.
stars cannot be met.
I normalize that.
Come on, change your mind.
If I've got too long.
So you can take it out, bring it back in.
When the stars cannot remember, you are mine. Don't let the stars get in your eyes. Don't let
the moon change your mind.
If I've got
but I can also just have it do it automatically for me. And it can bring it right in and have each of the frequencies relatively in phase with each other, allowing for better clarity of the image.
Too many stars.
Too many stars.
Too many moons can change your mind.
Don't let the moon change your mind.
If I've gone too long, don't forget where you belong. When the stars come out, remember you are mine. Don't let the stars get in your eyes. Don't let the moon break your heart.
And then again with the other view.
Too many stars.
You can see the high frequencies are curving further and further out of phase as they get up in frequency. And then pop it to the middle.
If I've gone too long, don't forget where you belong. When the stars come out, remember you are mine. Don't let the stars get in your eyes. Don't let them.
That is a spectral phase display. Or are you talking about the
effect?
The question is, what is the name of the effect? And in Audition, we just call it automatic phase correction. So if you look under the effects menu, restoration, automatic phase correction, or you could just search for phase in the help. It'll show you how to do that. And again, that's something that other applications can do, but this is something that we put into our product. And that's just pretty much does a global time shift, but the precision that you have is within a few microseconds, and you can type that in well under the resolution of a sample. So you can get to about like 1/250th of a sample at 44.1 kilohertz. So, I mean, you could adjust sample by sample, but that's too coarse of a correction than what your azimuth misalignment might be, or whatever problem that you have where you cause. But again, that the thing that is unique to Audition is the way to visualize that in the spectral phase display. I'm at a different clip. And then also there's several different phase meters that you can look at depending on what your workflow is. And then there's nothing really special about this next clip. To delete it, you know, it doesn't really take really tools, so you can just select and delete it. But I thought you might be interested in hearing the light pop from Thursday.
Making people aware of what's out there, I thought that was an interesting point. Well, a critic.
So I tried several ways to go through this and find a good way to get rid of it. I mean, you can select it, and you can see that it has a tail at different frequencies. There's different resonances in the room. But it's so extensive, and with the way the recording is, I suggest just deleting it, if you want to. With that, I am happy to take questions. Yes?
My first question is simply, is there a Mac version of this available?
The question is there a Mac version of this available? No, it is not currently. It is on the Windows platform only. However, I am running this on a Mac, a MacBook Pro. I regularly run this under VMware Fusion, also Parallels, and right now I'm running it in Boot Camp.
Is it expected to remain a single platform software?
The question is it expected to remain a single platform software? Unfortunately, I can't comment on that in this forum. Yes? Can you repeat the question, please?
You've got a lot of tools that work with pan and phase, and I'm thinking in terms of transfer of models, and/or grooves. Is there any form of groove wall selection available? Something which selects between the quieter, left, right, or some grooves?
I'm afraid I don't understand your question.
Can you choose between the two? Can you choose between left and right?
Oh, absolutely. So the question is, as stated by someone else, is can I choose between left and right? So I'll go back to a stereo file here. I can just do the left side or the right side.
No. This is the equivalent of the old CAPPER unit.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that unit.
You have a stereo playback of a mono source, and it automatically chooses between the channels of which the choir the two channels dynamically.
No, the question is, can it choose the quieter of two channels automatically? No, there's no actual plugin to do that automatically. However, in the spectral pan display, if one channel is quieter, you will see a shift in the overall display. So what we can do with this, simulate that. I'm going to make the right channel significantly quieter at this point, and I'll mark that. And now that's a really drastic shift. I'm going to undo that and do just a few dB, 1.3 dB. And actually, we'll do something else. This is actually two stereo. We can just start over. And I'll generate sine wave that is a little bit hotter on the left. And you can see it's just above the zero line. I can zoom in. And it's at minus 2%, minus 4% towards the left. So from this, you could see that the right channel is quieter, but it's not going to choose anything relative to that. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Yes?
Three problems, actually. Thump, which looks like one of the early things you showed, looked like it might move the thump from a record which has a comfortable warp master.
A thump removal?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's several ways to do that. You could first try doing the automatic click restoration. I'll go to the clip that has the dropouts in it. You know, this that has a lot of high frequency stuff in there, but you can see by the huge gap that there's also a whole bunch of low frequency energy as displayed here. Now, what you could do is you could go in, select that, and bring down the amplitude of it to reduce a lot of the energy in the low frequency.
Synthesize from either side to fill in the gap in the bottom?
Yeah, so if you do the, well, it's not necessarily going to synthesize. If you do the fill single click option in it, or we have a favorite called auto heal. It's basically what the spot healing brush does. You can paint it, and it'll take information that is on either side of the selection and modify the data that is underneath. However, at the very bottom of the spectrum, doing FFT-based algorithms, you're going to have only limited success. But there's a whole host of other things that you can do with it, and you can also use any VST plugin that's available on the market on any of these selections. So if you use a VST plugin to do your work, if you use a third-party vendor, you can bring it in and have that plugin affect only the area you have selected, just like I showed with the other plugins.
And the other is you showed the phase correction component. How does that work on skewed tape?
On skewed tape?
It's tape that's been badly wound and stretched so that it keeps moving along at different, so that the azimuth is continually changing.
So the question is, how does the phase correction work on skewed tape where the phase misalignment varies over time? So there's two effects that I showed. One of them is just the automatic phase correction. This does a global shift, and it's going to be kind of a complete change over time. But it's going to do it once if you do the discrete change. You could turn that off, and you could do auto-align channels, auto-center panning, and it will go through, by this parameter, every 3 milliseconds, do an adjustment down to the 1 millisecond, and you can also change how quickly it adapts and how quickly it responds, but that's not quantified. You can change the analysis size every 128 samples, every 256 samples. So there's a lot of customization you can do for that. I would also suggest looking into the graphic panner effect. And if you're worried about phase, what you can do is, if you know that it cycles regularly, you could cycle the graph at a specific frequency, or number of beats depending on the tempo. It's just another way to show that. But as it goes through with this, it will try and automatically center phase. So it's always adjusting itself. So if I then applied this, it would be trying to dynamically update. And what you would have to do is do a little bit of trial and error and see if it works on your material. Unfortunately, I don't have the same material that you out in the field have. And I welcome you to send me any files and be happy to look into new ways to solve your problems.
This may work with multiple applications in the same area.
Absolutely.
We are officially out of time in the lunch break. I know Charles, hang around to answer more questions. But for those of us who want to eat,
and I'm here throughout the rest of the conference, so feel free to stop by and ask me a question.